Hello and welcome back to our podcast, The Brigade of Imbeciles. Today, we'll be taking a look at episode 2 of Our Flag Means Death, appropriately titled, A Damned Man.
Who is this man who is damned? And here's a sneak peek from today's episode.
Wah, 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 wah.
The cuts.
I think it's quite interesting in the scene where both crews meet because you can really see how they employ different methods to face off one another. Izzy and his crew, you know, they immediately go to fighting. Izzy immediately takes out his sword and cuts up Steed's shirt.
Thank you.
Whereas Steed immediately goes to, again, creative thinking to solve
a diversion.
Exactly. In a way, it's very theatrical, you know, hinging on the fact that he is trying to use his words and his creativity instead of going out to really fight Izzy and his crew.
Okay, so who is this damned man and why is he Steed Bonnet?
In a lot of ways, I feel like they're all damned just to be on the crew.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It starts out with Black Pete trying to sell the illusion
of
that he was Blackbeard's right-hand man. And Steed is the only one who is buying into it. Everybody else is just like, shut the fuck up, Black Pete.
Everyone else is extremely doubtful and Steed's just like, ooh, tell me more. So his head is a ball of gas. What about his eyes? They float. And you can tell that he's like so intrigued by this story and this like mystique of Blackbeard.
Yeah, and Blackbeard is his hero. He's the idolized pirate.
In many ways, Steed wants to be a pirate like Blackbeard. Like, he just wants to prove that he can be. But I mean, he's clearly not cut out for it.
Definitely
so
not.
So barely such.
He doesn't even want to torture the hostages.
Through this storytelling, like, the ship actually runs aground.
Yeah, he runs aground. First 5 minutes, they run aground. Steed is desperately trying to shove the ship off the beach. Obviously, that's not going to happen.
I don't know what he was thinking. He was just one man pushing the gigantic ship, trying to get it to go back into the ocean.
And then Izzy and the boys show up, Ivan and Fang. And funny enough, Izzy, played by Con O'Neill. So Izzy is his actual name in real life is Israel Hands, and he was the right-hand man of Blackbeard. And funnily enough, he ran aground at one point with Blackbeard and Steed Bonnet in real life. And they abandoned their crew after failing to get their ships back on the ocean. And he's like, what kind of fucking idiot runs his ship aground?
So right now the crew's on ground, on land, and they're wondering what to do with their time. And Steed's just like, you know, have a vacation, let's take a break. Like the true, generous captain that he is.
Yeah, and the crew doesn't even know what a vacation is. So that really highlights the difference in class between Steed and his crew and pirates and Steed.
Yeah, I mean, they have no idea how to relax. They only know how to be pirates and they're not even that great at being pirates.
Yeah.
I just feel like they just want to have fun, you know, like Wee John's just like, maybe I should go check the gunpowder.
And
like,
he ends up blowing things up with the gunpowder.
They don't have the idea or they don't have the concept of taking a vacation or relaxing, right? Because like what you said, Steed really is from a different class in a different world. And like what we really see is how Lucius right now, he's the only one that shares a sort of similarity with Steed's past because he's the only one who's literate, right? He's the only one that can read and write. I feel like in a way Lucius kind of reminds Steed of his past.
In a lot of ways throughout the series, Lucius is the bridge between Steed and the pirate's life.
Yeah.
But we'll go more into that in a future episode. Steed is also suffering from some mental devastation this episode.
As with every episode, is suffering.
But with Nigel's ghost haunting him with a sword in his head.
I think it's like a continuation of the demons that he was facing in the first episode, right? Technically, he didn't even kill Nigel. I mean, he was just there when he died. And even that, the weight and the guilt of being a part of his murder, I mean, he wasn't even a murderer, but he was just part of it. He can't handle it and he's being haunted by
inadequacies.
The ghost of Nigel's past. Essentially, his inadequacies.
And it highlights his inadequacies. And also, like, nearing the end of the episode, he has like a quick therapy session. And he does acknowledge that, no, he doesn't feel bad that Nigel died because he was an asshole. But he's just facing his inner demons and wondering why he feels inadequate, why Nigel is insulting him, the Nigel in his head keeps insulting him. And it's a reflection of the guilt that he feels and how he left his previous life. life with so many strings untied.
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly like what the Elder says, right? Like, until you resolve this guilt, you'll continue to be haunted. And that's essentially how we see him through the next couple of episodes as well. And I feel like he is so hyper aware of this guilt, and he does kind of project a lot on taking care of his crew, and it manifests in that way. But, you know, it's not the true guilt that he's dealing with. In this episode, we also see Steed losing his hostages, and I think that just adds to the fact that, you know, his crew, I mean, not only him, but his crew, just inadequate as pirates, that they they can just, like, lose a hostage.
And one interesting thing is that it technically isn't Steed's fault that the hostages ran away, it's Roach's fault. But immediately you can see that Nigel shows up and he's like, "You're a fucking idiot. You've lost the hostages." And Steed is, like, having a nervous breakdown, and he immediately steps in and he's like, "Let's go find those fucking hostages."
Yeah, so he goes out and he's trying to look for the hostages, and he gets kidnapped by the native people. And after a trial, the native people even deem him not a threat to their existence at all. I think it just reminds me of how, like, harmless this crew is. And like what you said earlier, like, Steed's having a full-out therapy session with the Elder, and he's like pouring out his soul to this Elder and trying to get kind of resolution, but he never really gets it. It just kind of, like, spurs him on to realize that he needs to confront his true guilt.
Steed realizes that he has to step up, and he starts to become more of a pirate. He starts to threaten other people and use his theatrics to start a fuckery and, like, best Izzy at swordplay. And that kind of ties into the end of the episode where, thanks to the Elder, who says, "You're more of a gentleman than a pirate." And Steed has an epiphany and he's like, "Why not both? Why can't I be the gentleman pirate?"
Yeah, he starts his own identity.
Yeah, exactly. He starts his own identity. And that really solidifies the start of episode 3 as well, and how he wants to thread that line.
I think after watching the crew of the Revenge just kind of, like, bumble around and just, like, play and be at their own lost devices, we're kind of introduced to what real pirates are really like in this episode. So it does start off with, you know, the introduction of Blackbeard and how tough and strong his crew are. But we see Izzy
in all leather,
exactly. And this time around, we see the introduction of Izzy, we see the introduction of Fang and Ivan, who are essentially the pinnacle of what pirates are supposed to be, right? They've been sent on a mission by Blackbeard to take a look at this new pirate.
They're also sent on a mission to steal the hostages.
Yeah.
And kind of figure out, how did these idiots manage to get British officers as hostages?
And they're tough, and they immediately despise the crew of the Revenge. They're like, "What on earth are these bumbling idiots doing, just, like, running aground?" The introduction of Blackbeard's crew definitely juxtaposes the crew of the Revenge, right?
Not just in personality and demeanor, but even in the costumes. Like, you can see, like, Steed's crew, they're always in robes for some reason.
They're colorful.
Yeah, colorful. And then you see Izzy and the crew dressed in leather, like, not very practical, but they have to have that persona.
Yeah, and in a way, like, Steed's crew is definitely much more individualistic. Their outfits, you know, they each stand out in many different ways. And whereas Blackbeard's crew is just, everyone just gets a leather pair of pants. I think it's quite interesting in the scene where both crews meet, because you can really see how they employ different methods to face off one another. Izzy and his crew, you know, they immediately go to fighting. Izzy immediately takes out his sword and cuts up Steed's shirt.
"Thank you."
Whereas Steed immediately goes to, again, creative thinking to solve
a diversion.
Exactly. In a way, it's very theatrical, you know, hinging on the fact that he is trying to use his words and his creativity instead of going out to really fight Izzy and his crew.
Because he knows that he's going to lose.
Yeah.
And the way that that scene starts out is like an A-frame. Steed's legs frame Blackbeard's crew, and he's like, "Don't trifle with me, you're trifling." And it's just like, he's just full of shit.
I think it's funny how Steed has essentially overpowered Izzy, but he still wants a compromise, which definitely reveals a lot about his gentlemanly, kind-hearted nature.
Yeah, it's not what an actual pirate would do, but Steed compromises, and Izzy is willing to hear him out.
Everyone's just intrigued by Steed at this point.
He obviously has the upper hand, yet he's like, "You can have one, we'll take the other, and then let's part ways." And in this episode, we're also introduced to why Jim is on this ship with Oluwande. We learn that they're on the run and that they are very scary. They can throw a dagger through a cockroach. And that they're also literate. They can read and they can write. The mystery of Jim keeps going deeper. And then Lucius, unfortunately, it just had to be him. Learns that fact and he pays the price.
And he's, like, being tackled by Jim and Jim's threatening him.
Yeah, and we see Lucius confirm that he's gay as well. And talk about not all beards are actual beards.
Yeah, and I think it's like also the first sign of inclusion for the LGBTQIA plus community that we see.
And then from there, Lucius gets kidnapped and thrown into a trunk.
Immediately back in the closet.
And now, some fun facts. So Con O'Neill, he was recently in a little show called The Batman.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
What's that?
It's like a little indie film.
It's like a man as a bat? Like
he's
flying?
Yeah, that one. And his Twitter and his Instagram are amazing. Like, it's like 90% shitting on Boris Johnson and the Tories, and then 10% retweeting like every single fan art, even though Izzy isn't even in it, but he's like retweeting all the fan art and being like fabulous X,
just flirting with the fans.
His Instagram is like his fridge, and he's just putting up the art of all the fans, like a really loving uncle. And he also has the best voice. His voice is incredible.
Yeah, it's so soothing for some reason.
Yeah, and he is an incredible Izzy. Like, he brings so much to the character. I was reading an interview with David Jenkins talking about writing Izzy as a character and how he kept going back to Con's audition and how his performance pushed the writing for Izzy, because he brings such an interesting depth to Izzy as a character. We also have David Fain, who plays Fang. He's also from New Zealand, same with Reese and Taika, and he's worked with Reese and Taika for years.
Yeah, I think we recently saw him in...
Yeah, we watched...
Lovebirds, starring
Reese Darby. This little rom-com called Lovebirds, and David was in it as well. It's on Amazon Prime if anybody wants to catch that. We also have Gus Kahn, who plays Ivan. He was recently in The Bubble, along with Samson Kayo, who plays Oluwande. And according to Vico, who plays Jim, there was a little hoo-ha that happened when they were shooting the swimming scene. They had actually gone around to all the cast and all the crew to get their consent, because Vico is going to be nude. And one group that didn't consent was the police, who actually tried to stop the shoot because Vico is nude. You can find a lot of behind the scenes information from Vico and Samba's social media. I think Vico usually puts stuff on TikTok, and Samba posts a ton of BTS on his Instagram and his Twitter.
Yeah, he definitely feeds me the most BTS content. I'm like just always waiting for him to post something.
Yeah, him and Aaron Epstein, who is the on-set photographer. Dream job. So as usual, let's wrap up this episode with our favorite quotes. This one personally was very difficult for me. I mean, I feel like almost every line in the series is extremely quotable. It's so good. But one of my favorite lines from this episode is from the scene in the very beginning when the French man says, "Someday soon, France will rule the globe. Finally, the entire world will have access to good bread. Really good bread."
Someday soon, France will rule the globe.
Ben oui, c'est évident.
Finally, the entire world will have access to good bread. Really good bread.
Wow, that's a classic.
I think it was very difficult for me to pick one too, but I've landed on the scene where Buttons is just naming all the different kinds of like sea creature that he can think of. He's like, starfish, sea bass, wild Alaskan salmon for some reason.
Oh yeah, and so funny thing is that America didn't even exist at that point.
Want to wager I can name 1,000 different sea creatures? Starfish!
So he's just like going on naming everything, just completely oblivious to like the bomb sound going off in the background. He's just busy whittling his sharp stick
that will turn into a harpsichord.
Yeah, which, by the way, I did not know was like a piano.
That's why Lucius is like, really?
So I think that's all the time that we have for today.
Catch us later in the next episode where we talk about episode 3.
See ya!
Bye.